absolutely essential. They are they're non-negotiables. We've made them negotiables. We've left them behind. Instead, we've taken marketing, campaigns, sound bites instead of sound doctrine. We have substituted the personality of a and the charisma of a man in the pulpit for the presence of God in our midst. In all these ways, we have forsaken that fountain of living waters. Mm. But if we return to him, he will return to us.
Very powerful. Now, shaking can only remove what is shakeable.
Mm-hmm.
And the shaking is taking place everywhere, even in God's own house. Judgment begins at the house of God,
mm-hmm.
which seems to indicate that what the Apostle Paul said, and also what Jesus said, that there are many that are going to fall away in this shaking.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And that's why I believe we're in a crucial season. It's time to wake the church up now, because if we don't draw near to Christ now, when the last season of shaking begins, when the last moments of that shaking begins, many that haven't drawn near to Jesus now will fall away then.
All right. Well, friends, it's time to return. That's the title of the book, The Return, an end-time epistle to the church in America. You do not want to miss this simple but powerful, powerful book. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Your gift of $12 or more to Save America Ministries, we'll put it in your hands. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org. Remember, if you're writing a check, add $4 for postage and handling. And because this is so powerful, we want to make sure that you get multiple copies of this to get it out very quickly, because time is so short. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Chuck Ferguson, who's running for the United States Senate. Hi, Chuck. How are you doing?
Good evening. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine. Now, would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, where you're running for the United States Senate, and, of course, what you hope to accomplish when you're successful?
You bet. I'm running here in the state of Missouri. It is a seat that is being vacated by Senator Christopher Bond. I'm a small businessman here in Missouri. I've served 8 years in the Missouri legislature, and I've served 6 years in the Missouri Senate. But most of all, I'm a small business owner and I'm very excited about the Tea Party movement. I believe it's the silent majority out there that's beginning to wake up and understand that we've got to win our country back. I began getting frustrated in 1996 as a small business owner. I couldn't understand a system that the harder I worked, and the more I worked, and the more hours I put in, and the more people I hired, I was penalized by the government for doing so. So I guess I got involved in my own Tea Party back in 96 when I decided to run for office, and hopefully I've tried my best to follow with conservative principles, and I think we're lacking those in Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, I certainly agree with you totally, and I think it's exciting that you're going to be running. Now, are you running on the Republican, Democrat Party? What's your party?
Republican Party.
Are you the Republican nominee then for the Senate? Now, is there a primary yet to be held, or is this definitely, where do we stand?
Now, there's a primary. The main opponent is Congressman Roy Blunt, who has been in Washington for 14 years and was part of the failed Republican leadership that served from 2000 to 2006. And And I guess that I'm a frustrated Republican because I believe in the values of the party and what it stands for. We've just been electing people that haven't followed those values and haven't followed, I believe, conservative Republican principles.
And I certainly agree with you. Now, basically, what's it look like? Do you have any sort of polls at the present time? And when is the primary going to be?
The primary is August 3rd. We have done no polling. Basically, we put our money into radio and trying to get TV up. We have 450 signed up volunteers that are working the state and phone banks and door to door and sign teams. So it's really a grassroots effort. We're running against a lot of Washington money. Congressman Blunt is he's the number one recipient of Fannie and Freddie Mae PAC money from Washington. He is at one time, I believe, and he still may be, is the top fundraiser in the U.S. House. And takes a lot of Washington money that we're trying to fight against right now.
Well, I think that's a great talking point. I'm sure you're going to bring out the fact that he is the establishment's choice. He's the people they want to get in there, who's going to keep things exactly as they are, and we go from crisis to crisis. So I think that's exciting. You've got that many volunteers out there are going to be walking precincts for you, and certainly having telephone banks and all those things. You obviously know what you're doing because you've won a number of campaigns in the past. So it's just good to know basically all across America we find more and more people running for political office not because they want to be politicians, but because they want to restore America. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Chuck Ferguson, and we'll certainly open up our lines a little later for questions. But right now we just want to talk with Chuck a little bit more about his thoughts on what's going on today. Well, what do you think about the economy? I mean, certainly they passed this new federal having to do financial law that simply has passed. But it was very interesting that today both Ben Bernanke and President Obama were talking about the fact that the economy really isn't doing very well. Do you think that the fact that the economy is in such bad shape will really help you as far as being able to make your point with the voters?
Well, I think that the real Republican principles of smaller government and lower taxes and cutting taxes across the board is still the direction we need to go. It's unfortunate that we have a lot of failed leadership from the Republican side that doesn't follow those principles, or they at least talk about them when they're out campaigning, but they don't follow through when they're in power. Congressman Blunt, the one I'm running against, was a big supporter of the TARP program. And I have no doubt that there would have been some pain if we hadn't passed TARP. But I think what we did is we passed a short-term pain for a long-term cancer that continues to grow and get worse every day. And until we address the basic fundamentals that are wrong with this economy, we're going to continue to flounder. Government is trying to borrow our way to prosperity, and everyday Americans around the kitchen table understand that you can't spend your way to prosperity. You have to be able to cut spending and start using basic economics and getting people back to work before we're going to ever begin the process of getting this economy turned around.
Well, certainly one of the big problems we had when George Bush was president is he kept, he cut taxes, which I'm all in favor of, but then he increased spending. I mean, that was the most incredible thing. And certainly with the spending for the war and then the spending for the No Child Left Behind and then the Medicare drug bill, how did your opponent vote on those? Did he vote for the president and the Republican Party, or did he stand on principle?
No, he voted for No Child Left Behind. I voted for the Medicare Part D program. And, that's a frustrating vote because I believe the program was already going broke at around $32 trillion deficit. And the Republican answer is to add a benefit that added $8 trillion to the unfunded liabilities of the nation. So it did not make any sense. And then, as a believer in the Constitution, I don't believe the federal government should be involved in education, period. I think it is an issue that deals with states and local areas, and to see the Republican Party pass a program like No Child Left Behind that increases the federal role in education.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chuck was just talking about the legislation that went through during the Bush administration, specifically the No Child Left Behind program education. And, of course, Chuck is simply saying that he doesn't believe that the federal government should be involved in education because it's not constitutional. And that's one of the biggest problems. We have a lot of people there in Washington, D.C., who want to do what they think is best. Without realizing, of course, it's not up to them what they think, it's what the Constitution says. And the whole idea of the Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government. Do you think your people in your Senate district there in Missouri really understand the whole purpose of the Constitution was to limit the power of government so people could be free?
I think people are beginning to understand it more and more. I think that is what is great about the Tea Party movement, is people that we used to call the silent majority out there are beginning to wake up and understand that this federal government is out of control. They understand that you can't continue to print money and try to borrow your way into some type of prosperity and then be able to pass on a country that they're proud of to our children and grandchildren. I think Thomas Jefferson said it best when he said that it is immoral for one generation to pass its debt on to the next generation. And I think that's exactly what the silent majority is seeing happening, and they're finally beginning to wake up and understand that we've got to get this country back in shape, or otherwise our children are not going to have the same opportunities that we had.
Well, what do you feel about the war over there, this war on terrorism we're fighting over in Afghanistan, and suddenly President Obama had promised to pull the troops out of Iraq, and now he says, well, maybe next year we'll get the troops out of there. How do you feel about America's military involvement in the Middle East today?
Well, you know, what I believe the military needs to be used correctly, and let's face it, the military's job is to break things, tear things up, and win, and do what they can to protect this country. And when we get into other areas that don't involve those underlying principles, we get basically what we have right now. It is amazing that World War II lasted 3.5 years because we had a defined mission. We supported the troops to go out and do the mission. We allowed the military to do what they do best, and that is basically destroy the enemy and win, and the whole thing lasted 3.5 years. And I think that we're in our ninth year in Iraq, we're still sitting in Afghanistan, and we're not allowing the military to do what they were trained to do. And I believe that in future conflicts, what we have to do is what is constitutional, and that is you pass a resolution by the House and the Senate, they vote on it to go to war, and then you give the troops the necessary things that they need, and you allow the military to go out and accomplish that goal. And right now, we're not allowing them to win.
Well, I'm sure that you're absolutely right, and I think it's a tragic situation we're in, and I just fear it's going to go from bad to worse, be that as it may. Certainly, we have this year, we're talking about a $1.6 trillion debt, and that, of course, was before they came up with this recent extension of benefits for the unemployed. I think they're going to give them another 27 months. They've already had 99 months, and they're going to get another 27 months of unemployment benefits. How long can we keep just funding the people who are not working?
Well, as long as they keep the printing presses going. You know, we have a Congress that doesn't understand that we're broke. And if you're going to turn this economy around, you have to start leading by example. And we're in a situation now where if you're a businessman and you see what's happening, you understand basic economics, you understand that when you print money, it's going to lead to inflation. And that when the government is not doing anything to promote job growth, you're going to have stagnant growth when it comes to people working. So a small businessman who is not too big to fail simply is not going to invest in that type of economy because he's on the hook for any loans that he makes because the government is not going to come along and bail him out. So I think what you're seeing right now is exactly what you're going to see from the policies that are put forth by the federal government, and that is a stagnant economy with an inability of entrepreneurs to invest in their company and grow because they're afraid of the outcome.
Well, now, of course, the Obama administration claims that their stimulus program actually created 3 million jobs, and they think that they've done a pretty good job with their stimulus. What do you think?
I think when Mark Twain said one time that when it comes to government, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. And I think that, first of all, why does unemployment numbers continue the same if we created all these jobs? And the second thing is what has been created is a bailout bubble. Just like we had a dot-com bubble, just like we had a housing bubble, we now have a bailout bubble. And it's fixing to burst because the underlying basics of economics is not there. We have just pumped about $3 trillion into a bubble that's fixing to burst. And until we stop this runaway spending and get back to basic economics, we're not going to turn this around.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that that quotation from Mark Twain is so accurate because, of course, the Obama administration says they created 3 million jobs. Well, basically, they will admit we've lost 8 million jobs, and they said they created 3 million. I mean, we've really lost 11 million, and they've got 3 million back, and I think they just... Well, the old idea that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure, and they, an awful lot of them work for the federal government. And I think you're absolutely right. I think that they make up statistics all the time. They hire people to make up statistics, and boy, they do sure do it a good job of it. But you know, an awful lot of Americans are really they're hurting financially. How is the economy there in Missouri? Because I think, you know, basically, if the economy is poor, people are going to be looking for, for change. And I certainly don't think they're going to support the Democrats. So whoever wins the primary is the person I suspect is going to win the election, whoever wins the Republican primary. What is the attitude of the people back there? I'm sure you're talking to them all the time. Are they pretty sick and tired of the professional politicians from Washington?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest sense that I get is anti-incumbency, and it's really not a Democrat-Republican issue. The issue is if you've been to Washington, like my opponent has for 14 years, you're part of the problem regardless of what party you are. And it's a very strong anti-incumbency mood out there. And basically, it's well justified because we fell into a system of believing what politicians say and then letting them go to Washington and get away with the exact opposite of what they stand for. I think that you're seeing the amount of Washington money that's being spent in these elections. People are beginning to wake up to that. And you're beginning to understand that we have, as a party, have not held our elected officials accountable. You know, imagine that the number one plank of a Republican Party is a balanced budget. And number two is no earmarks. And yet we have Republicans in Congress that vote for balanced budgets, vote for budgets that are not balanced and really put off balancing a budget till somewhere off into the future. And then they love the earmarks process and begin the process of continually spending and putting more and more debt on our children by loving the earmarks process. You know, two of the things that the Republican Party does not stand for.
No, it doesn't, but unfortunately most of the politicians play that game. Well, now, Sydney, my feeling is that whoever is is the challenger to the establishment is going to do fairly well, you know, all across America. In fact, I think really we're seeing one of the most exciting times in my life. I've been at this for 48 years, actually, fighting this battle. And now, for the first time, I'm beginning to see people upset. They don't really understand what's going on, but they know something is wrong out there, and they certainly really would like to see things change. So I think that we've got a chance, really, of seeing a Republican Senate, but, of course, if it follows the policies of the official Republican Party, why, we're in real trouble. Now, I'm surprised. I thought that the Republican Party ordinarily let the people select the Republican candidate, and they would back the Republican candidate, but apparently they're participating in the primaries to keep good good people from getting nominated so they can have their party hacks, you know, go back to Washington, D.C., to continue following the dictates of the leaders of the party rather than representing the people. Do you have this feeling?
Oh, I tell you what, there's the stories I could tell you. But you know, in my first race in 1996, I'd never run for political office before, and I was just a small business owner. Well, the Republican Party picked another candidate, and they come in and they helped him. They supplied staff to run his campaign and financed him, and we were outspent $55,000 to $5,000, and we ended up winning with 60% of the vote. So I've been against the party before. Now, what we're up against this year is, you know, the Republican Party is supposed to give me voter vault information. They will not give that to me. They'll give me the Secretary of State's information that anyone can get. They do phone banks for Congressman Blunt. They do phone polling using only Congressman Blunt's name. So I'm basically against the higher-ups in the party. But when you get back into the rank and file, they're very disgusted with the direction the Republican Party's leadership has been going. They're dissatisfied with their choice. You know, we're in a situation here where you have a Republican congressman who voted for TARP, who voted for Cash for Clunkers, who is part of the leadership that added $1.4 trillion to the national debt, voted for No Child Left Behind, is the number one recipient of Fannie and Freddie Mae PAC money, and the list goes on. And we still have a Republican establishment that thinks this is the guy to continue this failed leadership in Washington.
So, well, hold that thought for just a moment here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for our guest, why give us a call? His name is Chuck Pergeson. He's running for the Republican nomination there in the great state of Missouri. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I, of course, fought the Republican establishment here in California for many years. I was very active, and they spent an awful lot of money to get me off the Central Committee, about $50,000, my little...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey Water Filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Back to 1996, and we have David calling us from upstate New York. Wanted to know about the silent majority, and David was just saying, pardon me, Chuck was just saying, the silent majority is the vast majority of the American people who just want to be left alone. They just want to get government off their backs. They simply, and of course, some of them are Democrats, some of them are Republicans. There are a lot of Democrats who are very unhappy about the way things are going. And go ahead with your thought there, Chuck.
You bet. And, you know, libertarians just, you know, a lot of them are like the family I grew up in. My family was non-political. My dad just always encouraged us to vote. He was a Navy veteran, and he always used to tell us that if you don't vote, you need to be required to go out on a veteran cemetery and look at all the white crosses and explain to them why you can't take 5 minutes of your day to go out and do a duty that they died to give you. And you know, and I think that my family's typical. They didn't really vote for a party. They voted for who they thought would do the best job. And I think that that is kind of the vast majority of the silent majority out there. They're basically not party people, but they understand what party's best represents their values, but they'll still cross over and vote for someone they really believe in.
And I think that's an awful lot of people. That's how we get it. We have certain people are always going to vote Democrat. Certain people are always going to vote Republican. But the great majority, the silent majority, they're sort of watching and seeing what's going on, and they're being misled by the controlled media. Anything else you want to say, David, before we let you go?
Well, I'd like to be up front. I mean, politically, I feel I would consider myself as an independent libertarian, but I feel like I'm in the minority in this country.
I think in the past maybe you were, but right now there are an awful lot of people who are very unhappy, and I think that we're going to see some dramatic changes coming. Certainly there are a lot of libertarians out there. They want to limit the power of government, but there's some libertarians who don't want any government at all, and you've got to have government, and you've got to have moral standards, or you end up with moral anarchy. But thanks so much, David, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I think we're fortunate to have a man like Chuck Ferguson, who knows my good friend John Stormer back there in Missouri. And those of you who don't know John, John back in 1964 wrote a book, and that book had a profound impact on the United States as we know it. And basically, it was a book called None Dare Call It Treason. It was written during the Goldwater era, and that book and a book by Phyllis Schlafly were really responsible for Barry Goldwater getting nominated to the presidency. Now, he got, about, I think, 27 million votes, and probably his opponent, Lyndon Johnson, got certainly well over 40 million votes. But this was really the beginning of the conservative movement in America. And John Stormer went back, became a minister. He had a church there, and in Missouri all these years, but for many years, every Wednesday, I think it is, he would go up, or Wednesday or Thursday, go up to the nation's capital and put on simply a Bible class, Bible study class for the members of the state legislature. And I think he's been doing that for 30 years. But I think it's had an impact upon the legislature there. And I'm proud to call John Stormer friend. Well, anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for our guest, who is Chuck Pergerson. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Cindy, Chuck, a lot of the small businesses are having a real problem today getting loans. In fact, they seem to be doing everything they can to discourage the small businesses from getting loans. Is this hurting a lot of the businesses there in Missouri?
Well, I got to be honest with you. In my business, I don't have any problem borrowing money. What the problem I have is trying to define a cash flow where I can pay it back, you know, because I need customers coming through the door. And I'm in a situation where, and I think a lot of small businesses are, you're simply not going to borrow if you know you can't make the cash flow because, you know, we're not too big to fail like the federal government has bailed out some of the big banks. You know, it is ourselves that are on the line. And I think a lot of businesses just look at what the government is doing with the printing of money that's going to lead to inflation. When you continue to do things that do not encourage businesses to expand and hire, you're simply not going to invest in this type of economy. And I think you're seeing businesses just hunker down and not do anything.
Hold on, we'll be back here in just a moment with Chuck Pergerson. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, our guest is Chuck Pergerson. Right now, we have Beverly calling from, of all places, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Beverly. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm fine. I didn't know that he was even running. I never heard of him before.
Well, that's why we have him on the radio
right.
Tonight, so you can tell all your friends about him.
Right, and I was just wondering, what are his pro-life views?
All right. That's a fair question. What are your pro-life views?
Well, as a former fetus, I am 100% pro-life, and I've been endorsed by the Right to Life groups in every election, all of my House elections and all of my Senate elections. I believe that life begins at conception, and I say that's one of my core values that I have always held, and it's one of those unshakable core values.
All right, he doesn't equivocate very much, Beverly. That sounds pretty positive to me. Do you have another question?
No, that's what I was wondering.
Well,
thanks,
you know, there's some people who will certainly vote for anybody who says they're pro-life, and some people will vote against anybody who says they're pro-life. But certainly from what I've seen, I think Chuck is being very forthright, and this is a very important issue. Anything else? Of course, basically, this has been decided by the Supreme Court, and until we get some responsible people onto that Supreme Court, and I hope one of these days why we will be able to do away with Roe versus Wade and return the responsibility to the local community. But the other thing is we're going to have to educate our children about the fear of God. And until we put the fear of God back in our young people, we're not going to change anything. Anything else, Beverly?
No, thank you very much.
God bless, and please tell your friends, tell them about Chuck Pergerson, okay? Oh, Chuck, do you want to go ahead and get your address out? Why don't you hang on here, Beverly, and as soon as we get all the stations back on board, we'll have Chuck give his address so that you can get behind him, because I think this is a unique opportunity to get a God-fearing man back in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Okay. God bless. Thanks very much for calling. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, our guest is Chuck Ferguson. And we'll be back here in just a moment to as we begin to evaluate his views on other issues. And, of course, we have another caller on the line, and they'll be with us in just a moment here as soon as we bring all of our stations from our network out across America. And of course, we have shortwave, we have internet, we have satellite, we have a series of radio stations and pretty good radio. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, is Chuck Ferguson. And Chuck, would you like to get out your website, telephone number, anything you'd like to put out, so people, if they'd like to get involved in your campaign or don't donate financially, how they could get in touch with you?
You bet. It's FergusonForSenate.com, and my last name is spelled P as in Paul, P-U-R-G-A-S-O-N. So it's FergusonForSenate.com, and you can go to that website. You can sign up as a volunteer, and as I mentioned earlier, we have around 450 volunteers going door-to-door right now, and you know, throughout the days up until August 3rd. Our headquarters is based in Chesterfield, and this is right outside of St. Louis. And we have teams all across the state, signed teams. It's a great grassroots effort, and so if you're interested, that's FergusonForSenate.com.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Ruby, who's calling us from Live Oak here. Hi, Ruby. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. Do you have a question or a comment for us?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. First off, I'd like to say I really like your definition of the silent majority, people who just basically want to be left alone. I think that's a great definition. And you're always talking about limiting the power of government, and I know you quote Thomas Jefferson all the time. One thing I'd like to know, why do we not have term limits for Congress? And since we obviously don't have, how can we get these term limits? Because it seems to me that's how we would limit their power, is by getting them out of office.
Well, that's how do you feel about that, Chuck? Do you think that we should have some term limits for Senate, maybe a couple of terms for senators, and maybe three or four or six terms for Congress? What are your thoughts on that? Have you even given it any thought?
You bet. No, I have a contract with Missouri on our website, and that's one of the issues is I pledge a two-term limit. I'm a product of term limits in the Missouri House. I served there 8 years. I'm a product of Missouri term limits in the Senate. I'll be able to serve there. I've served there 6 years and hopefully go on to Washington. But I think our forefathers never envisioned that anyone would want to do this for a career or a living. It was supposed to be a responsibility that someone took time out of their business and out of their life to go to Washington and represent their area for a short length of time. So I think that's why the forefathers didn't put term limits in. But I believe that what we have to do is start electing people that pledge to serve only two terms, and then once you get enough there, do a constitutional amendment to go out to the states to ratify by the states a constitutional amendment to our Constitution to set a term limit. Because I believe that's the only way you're going to break the power of the incumbency is to start out with people that pledge term limits until we can get a constitutional amendment to make it a reality.
And what do you think of that, Ruby?
Well, I think that's a wonderful idea. I'm just kind of surprised that nobody's tried to do it before, or maybe they have, and they just haven't succeeded. Do you think?
Well, basically, you know, it was 1994 when the Republicans had a sweep of the, the Congress, and I think they got, I don't know, 40 or 60 seats, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the Republican took control. That's, of course, when Newt Gingrich came down there and had the contract with America. And he said all the right things and did all the wrong things and betrayed the American people again. But be that as it may, well, a lot of those congressmen, congresswomen, women who were elected at that time, pledged that they would only be there for three terms. That was 6 years. And they suddenly, a lot of them kept their privileges, and others, well, gee, they got to sort of like it, and they just stayed on. Now, it wasn't illegal, it was simply a pledge, and a lot of them stayed on after the 6 years. But I know people are back there, Helen Chenoweth and Tom Coburn, they just said, we said 6 weeks, 6 years, we're going home. And, of course, Tom Coburn was eventually talked into running for Senate. He's certainly one of the most outstanding senators we have at the present time. But I think that what Chuck suggested is excellent. Did you have another suggestion or question, Ruby?
Do you think that if we start this term limit thing at the state level, that it might get it going more at the national level? Do you think that that might work?
Well, you go right ahead, Chuck.
A lot of the states already have term limits, and they've been upheld in court that they are constitutional. The state of Missouri has term limits. But on the national level, you would have to change the Constitution, and that would have to be ratified by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to get enough people in Washington that will actually send it down to the state to get it voted on. And right now, you know, Congress simply doesn't want to do that. What we're going to have to do is start sending people that pledge term limits so eventually we can get a constitutional amendment and get it ratified.
I think there are an awful lot of people who are congressmen and senators, and they like being congressmen and senators. They just want to stay there the rest of their life. Anything else before we let you go, Ruby?
Only just one question. How would you inspire, or how do you think you might be able to inspire the young people? Because we really have to get the young people involved in conservative politics. It just seems like they kind of go the way of the Democrats a lot.
Well, what you have to do is tell them what their future is at stake. Right now, with a $13 trillion deficit or a debt, they owe $40,000 on that, and they don't even have a right to vote yet. And looking at the unfunded liabilities of the nation at $102 trillion, just add another $300,000 on to the debt that they have. And right now, before they ever get the right to vote, they're in debt $340,000. So, they have to begin to understand basic economics and begin the process of understanding what it means to be an American. You know, that is one thing that we have to do as parents. You know, kids aren't born patriotic. They aren't born American. They have to be taught what it is to be an American, and they have to be taught about the history of our country and what it means to be an American. So, you know, the parents need to take a primary role in educating their kids and making them understand what it means to be an American, what America is all about, and then it's up to them to pass it on to their next generation.
Amen to that. And, of course, one of the big problems is today our young people are being indoctrinated in high schools with socialism, and up to the parents to counter what these kids are learning in school. Hey, thanks so much, Ruby.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Bye.
And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the big thing is, how do you reach the people? Well, apparently Chuck's got some funds for television and radio. But are you going to be using mostly television, mostly radio?
What, right now we're using radio, phones, door-to-door. We have a very active phone bank going. And we're hoping to do TV the last 5 days. You know, TV is pretty expensive, and, you know, face it, a lot of people I classify myself as the silent majority. We don't watch a lot of TV right now because we're out working, but hopefully a lot of radio, and then hopefully targeting our voters and getting them out to the polls on August 3rd.
All right. Well, I think that's really so vitally important. It's a matter of getting your message to the to the public. And one of the big problems we have today is that sometimes, well, at least I know in my area where the local newspaper, when I won the Republican nomination for Congress back in 1988, I was running against the man who today is the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Leon Panetta. And I always like to say, you know, it was certainly, I believe it was, Will Rogers said he never knew a man he didn't like, but then he never met Leon Panetta. But be that as it may, but basically, I run the Republican nomination to run against, and of course, the paper refused to print the fact that Rundy won the Republican nomination. And the reporter, a very nice young lady covering the race, went to the editor and said, "Well, aren't you going to put an article in that Dr. Monteith won the Republican primary?" And the editor said, "Of course not. I would not run an article that said he'd won the Republican primary." It's hard to get your message out, but it sounds to me like you've got a great organization, and you've got all those people going door to door. That is the very key, and we certainly hope that our young lady who called earlier from St. Louis there will go ahead and get involved in your campaign. And Sydney, are you picking up more workers all the time? Because I would think there's an awful lot of people would be very, very really motivated to want to get you back there in Washington, D.C. I know if I was sitting there in Missouri, I'd be out walking precincts too.
Well, you bet. You know, media is changing, and what we have to do is we have to change with it. You know, used to, the snail mail, you would send out a brochure, and it might get to the people you were targeting. But, you know, we have the ability now to send out an email, and within an hour, it's in 100,000 mailboxes all across the state. You know, and networking with those people and email lists and Twitter and all those new forms of electronic media, you know, it's important that you get involved in them, and it allows candidates that aren't heavily funded to reach a lot of voters. So it's essential that people change with the times and get involved in email lists and internet sites, because it is a new media out there that we have to discover, and it's a media that you can reach a lot of people with relatively little expense.
And now you talk about, you know, the snail mail. I never forget sending out these expensive glossy brochures, and they arrive 3 days after the election's over. You know, somebody just sits on those in the post office. What a wonderful way to keep people from getting their message out. So, but you're absolutely right. You know, one of the most significant things is most of our major news magazines and newspapers are in real trouble. They're going to be, certainly the Washington Post is in trouble. The Newsweek magazine is up for sale. Sydney, New York Times has had to have additional funding, but all across America, newspapers are closing down, and Sydney, even the major television networks are having real problems because the advertisers are not putting the money out that they have before. Whereas the internet, shortwave, and you talk about all these other things, the Twitter and the Facebook, and I don't understand all of this myself, but I know that this is a wonderful way to get the information out. You've got knowledgeable people there. You can reach people you could never reach before, and so much more cheaply and economically, and hopefully, of course, successfully.
You bet. We could learn a lot from the Obama campaign, you know, a couple years ago. He used a new type of media and met a lot of people that normally didn't get out to vote, and one thing you need to do is you need to learn how they got out their vote, and hopefully we'd be able to repeat the process of getting out that silent majority across the country that is the real power and has the real ability to change things for the better out there.
And I tell you what, I'm very impressed by your manager, your campaign manager. I've talked to him a couple of times, and he's right in there doing everything he can to push your candidacy. And you know, that's the sort of person you need there already working behind you. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you got a question for Chuck, we've only got to have him with us for a few more minutes. But this is probably going to be, in my estimation, remember, I've been at this for 48 years, and not too many people that can say that, but this, I think, is probably the most important election, because this is going to determine whether or not we're going to be able to slow down this rapid move, and people call it Marxism or socialism, I call it fascism, And but I think that if they can get enough Republicans in there, at least they can slow down the process. And the Chris then began regrouping for the next major presidential election, which is going to be in 2012. And people say, well, the world's going to end, you know, this year or next year. And, well, I can remember hearing that same sort of thing back in 1962 and 1963 and 1964, and we're still going. And we got to just go as if it's got to go on forever. And I think, I hope it will, and we'll have an opportunity to reach more and more people with an understanding that America is a unique nation, different than any other nation in the world for one reason. And it has nothing to do with Purple Mountain's majesty and fields of waving grain. It has to do with our Constitution. And we need people who understand the Constitution and appreciate the Constitution and insist that our elected representatives abide by the oath that they take to defend America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we got an awful lot of domestic enemies working back there in Washington, D.C. We need to adhere to the Constitution. What do you think about the effect of the Tea Party movement? Is this going to play a major part in your campaign?
Oh, absolutely. I've been endorsed. I got an A rating from our state Tea Party groups. I've spoke to a lot of Tea Parties all across the state. I just within the last hour was at a Tea Party. You know, involved with a lot of people that are really deeply concerned about their country. So I think it is the new force in America that people are beginning to wake up and understand. You know. And, you know, we shouldn't go into this doom and gloom, because we are going to have the opportunity to lead, because you have to understand, government never does anything till it's broke. If politicians can beg, borrow, or steal till the next election, that is what they do. They kick the can down the road. Well, we're getting to a point in this country that the can is not cannot be kicked much farther anymore. You know, the printing presses are coming to an end. I think that you're starting to see the end of the bailout bubble, and we're going to have an opportunity to come in and start going a different direction, because as this economy continues to tank, it is going to have a golden opportunity to come in and bring in a new way of doing things. I want everyone to get encouraged out there, because we're at a time in this country that we can affect real change. Because like I said, you'll get real change when the government goes broke, and we're quickly on the road to doing that, and that is when you'll be able to come in and bring in a new era of leadership that gets this country back on track.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Bruce, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan.
Have a question for our guest.
Well, I just want to comment along the lines. There's a good, solid knot of us people here in Spokane area and supporting constitutionally based candidates. And we're rigorously going out and supporting them, banging on doors, handing out the literature, and et cetera, and promoting them from any possible way we can. And a very dedicated group. We've got some very good candidates. And they're not the well-financed candidates that are bought and sold like prostitutes across the nation that have been in the past. In fact, we lack in funding, but we make it up for it in energy and dedication.
And it's just a matter of reaching the people. Unfortunately, up there, you know, they've got a pretty good radio stations. They're reaching a lot of people there. I think that's one reason why you've got such a great group up there.
Well, there's a lot of factors that go into it. You know, it was the spinoff of the Ron Paul, 2008 election, and we pretty much cemented around that. And a lot of people really do see it. But we've actually had, just like you said, we actually had our Tea Party captured by the other side. When thousands and thousands of people signed up for the Tea Party, person put it on they copyrighted the name, took all the address.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Bruce, you were saying that your Tea Party was taken over by people on the other side who wanted to neutralize us. Is that it?
Yes, exactly. Now, it happened by people posing as the conservative Tea Party people.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Much for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good night. And because I'm really encouraged to find people like Chuck all across this country, and there are people we've talked to in other areas who are certainly out there on the front lines of this battle trying to do what's right. And we have an opportunity to really make a change in this country. But it's going to require people, and maybe you don't have anybody in your area that you can back. Well, here's a man, if you believe in what he says, and I certainly do, why, certainly he might well be worthwhile your time and your effort to back people who believe, as we do, that America is a great country, but we've got to take it back. And let me tell you, there's an organized effort out there to equate the Tea Party with racism. Anybody who doesn't want to go with the one-party system we have, it's called the Republicrats, where the same people control the leadership of both parties. Anybody who doesn't want to go along with that is a racist. Anybody who's concerned about illegal immigration, hates Hispanics, these are all the terms that they're going to use to put you on the defensive and don't let you do that. Don't let them do that. Basically, we're on the right side. They're on the wrong side. These people hate America, and we're going to have to take America back. Well, Cindy, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get a copy. If you've not yet seen the DVDs on the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, you need to get those three DVDs. If you want to understand the prophetic significance of events that are taking place today, Pastor Billy Crone's The Final Countdown, it's 10 DVDs, part one, part two. You'll find it well worthwhile in the book by the same title. And then, of course, we have great new DVDs put out by Alex Jones. We're carrying Loose Chains. That's Loose Chains, and that's the final cut. an excellent DVD, really probably the best one that came out on the what happened on September 11th, 2001, when they killed 3,000 Americans. And believe me, if this had really been what we were told, and that is that 15 of the 19 people came from Saudi Arabia, we would have gone to war with Saudi Arabia. Well, we didn't, because they knew it was all fraudulent. Loose Change, you'll certainly want to see it, the final cut. And then, of course, we have the Invisible Empire DVD by Alex, and then Police State 4, Police State 4, they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest my recent DVD. It's called The Spectre Haunting America, and it gives you an overview of how they're destroying the lives of our children and our elderly, and why so many people in America today have one or another form of autoimmune disease and immune dysfunction. That's The Spectre Haunting America. Then let me put in a plug for our all-day conference on the 17th of October, and we've got a great lineup of speakers, Cynthia. Dr. Paul Williams will be here, Dr. A will be here, Sheriff Mack will be here, Michael Shaw and myself are serving lunch. You're going to have reservations. So the number there, of course, is 1-800-544-8927 to get your reservations and your hotel reservations, and we do hope that from out across America you'll be able to come. And we really get almost half the audience from across America. It's a great time. We enjoy it every year. And the people who come, when 5 o'clock rolls around, nobody wants to leave. But, of course, that's what you do. That way, hopefully, they'll be back again next year. Then, of course, we want to mention that we hope that you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Remember, you can listen to the Internet there. Listen to our programs 9 hours a day. Another thing you may want to think about is getting yourself a shortwave or simply getting yourself a satellite uplink, because we don't know what's going to happen. But we want to be able to continue in touch with you, even if they shut off the Internet. Why, we'll still have the shortwave, and if you don't have a good shortwave, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We offer an excellent one. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Sammich. If we can find Barry, he's down there in Florida. I hope anyway, of course, we get an update on what's happening as far as Florida, as far as the oil slick is concerned. But Perry, as you know, is an Israeli patriot, and he was forced to come to the United States because of threats against his life. And he's forced to have him here because he can interpret so much of what's going on in Israel much, much better than the average individual, because he knows many of the people involved in the corruption that exists in that country today. So right now, of course, our producer is in the process of trying to track Barry down. Hopefully we'll have him here in just a moment. But certainly we are facing a war with Iran. You can tell we're facing a war with Iran. Certainly we have a lot of contacts. People contact us who've been with the intelligence agencies. But all you need to do is read the Newsweek magazine and Time, and U.S. News and World Report, and understand these are all published by the Brotherhood of Darkness. They are establishment publications, and they are molding our minds, they're forming our tastes, they're creating our reality. And as you read those, and you read the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and these are all establishment publications, and their job is not to reveal the truth, but to manipulate our reality, and it's very obvious, Cindy, reading all of these, that they are preparing us for the coming war, the coming war with Iran. Well, right now, of course, we've got Barry on the line. Hi, Barry, how are you doing?
Not bad, thanks.
And I understand you're getting ready to go to Vermont for a few days.
Yeah, I've got a reader who's treating me to a vacation, and I'll tell you I could use it.
All right, fine. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, the same thing we talked about 2 days ago.
All right, go ahead.
Now, I'm hoping you've read the article by now.
Yes, I have. Go ahead. It was excellent.
Thank you. I also think it was an important step in logic in a very complicated story. That's 9/11, of course.
But, of course, you know, you're going to get a lot of Jewish people angry at you because you sort of suggest that the Jews were involved. It was only really a small number of them. The average Jewish person had no idea what these wicked people were up to. It just happened that they were Jewish.
It isn't like that. It didn't just happen they were Jewish. The Jews have been infiltrated. I've gone through this for years. It's a concept people are so resistant to that they don't understand that there is infiltration of really, really anti-Jewish forces in Judaism.
Yes.
And it's just too complicated when you dive to the depths of they started with Shabtai Tzvi and they went... It's a long, complicated story.
Well, we can't cover all of that this evening.
We're
but people
not
get
going
that
to
out of your
even
book.
Try.
Which book is that? Is that the book on labor Zionism that they should
well,
get?
Well, that was my first breakthrough, Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, the Holocaust.
Let me suggest to our listeners, this book is well worthwhile. You can get it from Lulu.com, and we'll tell you a little later how to get that. But you must understand the Sabbateans to understand what's happening under modern-day Judaism. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, what inspired the article, it's called Let My Mosque Be Built or Else, were all these people flooding my inbox, these patriots who were opposed to the Ground Zero Mosque, all for moral reasons, by the way, 100% moral. Well, the argument was, Muslims killed 3,000 Americans at Ground Zero, and I'll be damned if they'll build a mosque on our holy cemetery, and all that. But it seems to have, well, it's made national news here. It seems to have a tremendous pull, and the Jewish groups are sending the most vocal of objections to this mosque at Ground Zero. Now, and they better watch out. And I say that seriously, they don't know. They're in for a shock if anyone ever ever widely takes my research seriously, and it, well, it should be because it's accurate, but nonetheless, what if the Muslims were just incidental to 9/11, or if they weren't even involved? And I'm serious. I think there's a real good chance of that, actually. But either way, that's half the moral justification, just shot in the air right there. But if Israel was involved in 9/11, what a moral mess you've got. Now, without diving, I frankly have reached the point where I'm not a typical Jewish writer who lives with secrets to protect the his people. The people making the mess have got to go. They've got to be dealt with, and they've got to get out of the Jewish body fabric. It truly, in my opinion, is a matter of life and death, but that's me personally. But I will uncover the fact that there were two Jews I'm about to name, and I'll explain why around 9/11, but I'm also going to, and this is important, it'll get you lost if you follow it, but you have to understand what led to 9/11, and you have to understand what led to Middle Eastern diplomacy.
Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry's been talking about the fact that there's a lot of people who are very upset because the Muslims want to build a mosque very close to the site of the collapse of the Twin Towers, and they feel that this is sacrilegious, and here the Muslims brought down the building, and therefore they should not build a mosque there. And this is getting a lot of national play, and of course Barry's getting a lot of emails about it by patriotic people, and many of them are Jewish, who are very incensed at the idea of a mosque close to the Twin Towers. Without understanding, we're being manipulated again, ladies and gentlemen, because, of course, you get into this argument, you accept the basic precept that the Muslims were behind what happened on September 11th. But is it possible that we have not been told the truth? Is it possible that Building 7 came down because of controlled demolition, that the Twin Towers came down by controlled demolition? And we did see the planes hit the building, but does that mean that that brought the buildings down? Is it possible? Everything is deceit and deception. So you pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, you have to begin the story in the winter of 1991. Now, I'm going to be telling, I'm not even rewriting Middle Eastern history. I'm just telling it as close to truth as I can get about the secret governments of Israel and the United States and the deals they've been cutting and for what reasons. Now, some of this I personally uncovered, and we'll get to some of that shortly. Other secrets are still buried very, very deep. But by taking public knowledge with what I managed to get people to tell me, I think I'm coming close to the background, that not only led to 9/11, it also led to the Gaza pullout of Jews. Now, look, you have to begin in 1991. When Bush the father, in the winter of 91, ordered Iraq attacked, and Israel was slammed with Scud missiles. Now, it's not up until then, nowadays, it's part of the Israeli personality not to react to anything. But then you rocket Israel and you retaliate. Israel has to retaliate. Which we were expecting, and this was the Israel before the Oslo peace process began. It was a country with some dignity. Well, Israel didn't retaliate. And meanwhile, we are sitting in sealed rooms wearing gas masks, Well, our government does absolutely nothing to stop this gun attack.
But, of course, this was because the Americans told Israel not to do that. Isn't that correct?
Well, of course. Now, what Shamir... Now, this is public knowledge. What Shamir said is that Israel made a trade. It traded restraint for one America gets the Scuds, which they, after 2 months... they did a really bad job with the Scuds, but also Israel traded restraint for Saddam's overthrow. And by the way, overthrow is a secret word for murder. I mean, Israel said it would do nothing if America stopped the Scuds and killed Saddam. But, well, needless to say, Bush reneged on the deal. He left Saddam in place, but and by the way, he's on the very outskirts of Baghdad. It would not have been that much trouble already just to overthrow Saddam way back in 91. But Bush stopped the war, and well, Saddam went on and sowed his signature murder and mayhem after that. Now, Israel just called foul. And whoever runs Israel, I'm not talking anymore about the Knesset, the Prime Minister, whoever actually runs Israel, and they are from the Labor Party mostly, wanted Saddam dead. Now, you have to understand, in 91, Israel had never, ever been attacked with Scuds. The country was, well... literally brain dead. You couldn't go about your work. The sirens would go off and you'd have to run for a shelter and put on your mask. This went on for 2 months. Now, its intelligence understood that this is going to be the war of the future and that there's no proper response for the country. And that was well, what Saddam Hussein was doing, including, by the way, two of the Scuds had chemical weapons. They landed in the Negev. But this, well, imagine today's situation where 10,000 missiles can land in Tel Aviv in the first 10 minutes of the war, compared to way back in 91 when only 33 Scuds over 2 months landed on Israel. The Israelis wanted the Middle East changed. They wanted Saddam overthrown. And as crazy as it sounds, there was a movement then led by one Natan Sharansky that Iraq has got to become democratic and then it will become friends with Israel. This is crazy talk for any rational human being to believe you can make an Iraq democratic and Israel have a natural ally. It's nutty talk. But I'm gonna pose a theory that the people running our governments from underneath the surface, well, they've got a bipolar disorder of some kind. They don't care how many people suffer or hurt, are in agony. They just want to play this stupid game of chess where the worst possible consequences will be the result of their actions. In short, Israel wanted Saddam dead, and America gave them a condition. All right, we'll find a way. We'll go into Iraq. We'll kill Saddam. We'll spread democracies, but you got to invite the PLO back to Israel. And this was right after 91, it was 92. Bush sat down with, well, I'm not going to go through the story, but Bush ordered Prime Minister Rabin to, well, seek peace with the PLO. This was the deal going down. America would attack Iraq and the Israel will get a Middle East full of democracies, But you've got to bring the PLO back. That came initially from Bush. But in 93, and this is where I come into the picture. Now, these, by the way, up till now, I've not speculated. This is my research, and it's public knowledge. What is not public knowledge, before the Oslo Accord was, the peace accord, was signed in November of 93, two Israelis negotiated. One was Ron Pundak. He was a negotiator of this so-called peace treaty. Now, in December, a month after Oslo was signed, I'm at a party. It turns out that Ron Pundak and I are friends with the host of the party. He arranges an interview. I go with that. My then partner was Joel Bainerman. We had a little newsletter called Inside Israel. We're meeting with the Oslo negotiator, the man who cooked up this dreadful piece of treachery called the Oslo Accord. We're meeting with him a month after it was signed. Now, I'm not going to dive into what he said at that meeting. It went on for about 2 hours, and it was astounding stuff. But the main thing he said this towards the end of our meeting. It was at a coffee house in Tel Aviv. He said that Warren Christopher was very skeptical at first, but by March he came aboard. And I said, how would Warren Christopher know about these meetings? And Pundak said he phoned us from the first day. In short, what Pundak said was that the Secretary of State for the new President Clinton was guiding the Oslo talks. They were not, well, look at the big lie of August of 1993 when President Clinton, again, I'm going to say this, it's important, of the Council on Foreign Relations, as was Warren Christopher, an executive member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the president was shocked. He feigned the shock that these negotiations were taking place, and he said he wasn't even sure if they were legitimate, and within like a zillionth of a second, he decided they were legitimate. The CFR was guiding the Oslo Accord from its inception, and I uncovered that. There, I hear the music.
All right, basically, of course, the Oslo Accord was basically to negotiate a peace arrangement between the Palestinian Liberation Organization, that was Arafat at the time, and the Israeli government. And of course, there is no way you were ever going to come up with peace because Arafat was determined certainly to destroy Israel. And so he was, they made all sorts of offers to him. They were going to give him just about everything. Barak made arrangements, and Arafat didn't want peace. He wanted conflict. And we'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. So go right ahead, Barry.
Oh, yeah, I think you missed.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
1991 against Iraqis for sending missiles over to attack Israel. Israel had been promised that the United States would take out Saddam Hussein in 1991, and America went back on their promise. And so, but down the line, of course, the Americans told the Israelis that they would Israel would be good and negotiate with the PLO. America would eventually go in and take out Saddam Hussein and bring democracy to Iraq. And of course, how are you going to get the American people to go along with, first of all, an attack on Afghanistan, and then get them to go along with an attack on Iraq when there was no relationship between Iraq and what happened on September 11th. And, of course, Barry points out that Colin Powell went before the United Nations and lied for 2 hours to try to justify going into a war with Iraq with absolutely no justification. So pick up the story.
You've got a condition now. Yes, America will play ball, we'll come into the Middle East, and we'll bring our soldiers, and we'll change countries, and we'll overthrow Saddam Hussein, but you have got to get the Jews out of the Gaza Strip. This was the condition that led to everything. Now, eventually that happened in 2005. It took a while to do it, but the point is that the Israeli leadership and their grand vision for their country are, oh boy, working against the Israeli people doesn't begin to describe. No Israeli citizen would have gone along with any of the clauses of these crazy secret deals, which had just brought violence upon violence, but asked for the Americans Israel's life is in such mortal danger since this so-called peace process has begun. But the Americans, forget the cost of the World Trade Center and the 3,000 lives lost in the World Trade Center, the shock to the morale of the American people. You've got yourself troops in wars that can never, ever be won. As soon as America leaves Afghanistan, the Taliban will take over. As soon as America leaves Iraq, utter chaos will rule. America hasn't got a prayer of bringing democracy and order to these places. None whatsoever. And so far, something like 5,000 troops have been killed. Trillions have been spent on these worthless wars. All of this is going on when the people of America are suffering miserably and the people of Israel are suffering miserably. These chess players, these very, very sick individuals playing chess with the peoples of the world continue doing it. Now, here is World Trade Center, and let's just go at it. We know the background now. I just gave the background. The World Trade Center was owned by two Jews, one of whom was Israeli. The ground floor space was acquired by one Frank Lowy, a very proud, self-confessed Mossad agent. He emigrated to Australia from Israel in 1952, and he owned a 99-year lease for the 425,000 square foot retail portion of the World Trade Center, 425,000 feet in the WTC. Imagine if your apartment is 15,000 square feet. Imagine how big the space was. He was the owner of the floor space. The owner of the whole complex was Larry Silverstein. When the music ends, we'll go on to what Silverstein did with Building 7.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, our guest is Barry Shamish. We're talking about the fact that they needed an excuse for America to go into Afghanistan, to go into Iraq. And so here you have the World Trade Center complex. And, of course, the controlling interest is controlled by two Jewish people. And, of course, so we'll be back in just a moment as we let Barry develop this idea that they needed an incident to get America into war. Pearl Harbor, a sinking of the Maine, a Gulf of Tonkin incident. There had to be an incident, and they got one. It was called the World Trade Center. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Barry Shamish. Barry, go right ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't overstress the Jewish part when you consider the American Air Force was shut down for the 2 hours of the attack. You'll get people with names like Cheney and Rumsfeld and all kinds of Protestants involved in this. But I'm talking about right now the Middle East and the shenanigans that led up to the World Trade Center. You have Larry Silverstein didn't just buy the World Trade Center, he lost. He bid for the World Trade Center in 2000, and he lost. But something happened, and the winners just wouldn't sign their lease. And we can only imagine what happened. I don't know what happened, but it must have been pretty darn drastic. And then, lo and behold, Silverstein gets the lease. 7 weeks before the 9/11 attacks, he was given the lease, July 24th, 2001. And he immediately signed an insurance policy on the buildings, on the property. You don't wait long to do that. 7 weeks before the World Trade Center disaster.
Well, not only that, he had a special clause in there for terrorism. You know, most people don't get out of terrorism clause in their fire insurance, but he had a terrorism clause in there. Go ahead.
Oh, it was he arranged it beautifully. He knew what was. All right, we're not going to jump to that yet. There was a very obscure clause in the contract that stated that. If there were more than one plane would be a terrorist attack. Two planes would be two separate terrorist attacks. In the end, Silverstein was awarded $7.2 billion, double the insurance money for the destruction of the Twin Towers. And for a while there, all the guys called him Lucky Larry. But that name is not going to stick around for long, because the whole operation had a huge snafu, and we'll explain it now.
All right, fine. Well, I want you to hold that off. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shavish. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply talking about the fact that Larry Silverstein actually signed a lease for the World Trade Center 7 weeks before the September 11th attack. And he just happened to put a clause in the insurance policy that if the planes were taken out by terrorism, why, if there was one plane, he'd get $3.5 billion. And if he got two planes, he'd get $7 billion. And isn't that a coincidence? And then, of course, just 7 weeks later, both buildings come down. Now, before we go on, Barry, I do want you to get out your website. I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, and how they can invite you to come to give a speaking engagement, and how they can find your PayPal button, which is on all of your websites. Go ahead.
Sure. The books and the book that includes this information would be the latest to Compromise Land. But look at all of them. Go to www.lulu, that's LULU.com. You'll see a box that says find right in my name. That's CHAMISH. And you'll get to my books. Downloading them is like for $5. It's not very expensive. And sent to your house within a week is more, but worth it. My website is www.barrychamish.com. There is a PayPal button where you can contribute to me, and I assure you it would be welcome. And I send out a little gift to anyone who leaves their address. That's at barrychamish.com, the PayPal button's at the bottom of the website. And I have DVDs, which I'll be glad to send to you. And if you happen by any chance to live in Vermont, I'm going to be there next week. If you want to meet with me. My number is 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. Now, back we go to the big mistake, a huge mistake, and a blatant mistake. At 5:20 p.m., that is 6 hours after buildings 1 and 2 came down, a third building was collapsed. In the shadows of the smoldering buildings 1 and 2, Silverstein ordered building 47-story building 7 collapsed. And down it came in a perfect controlled demolition, which, by the way, in New York, you just can't blow up a building. It's too dense. The damage to surrounding property would be immense if you just blew up a building. It has to come down in a controlled demolition. And it did. And at my website where this article is, you double-click a link and you can see Building 7 coming straight down. And, well, Silverstein was very proud of bringing down Building 7, apparently. He bragged about it on a PBS documentary. It was called America Rebuilds, done in 2004. I'm going to give you his quote. Silverstein states, "I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And what does he say? And I said, we've had such a terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is for me to pull it. And then the decision was made to pull it, and we watched the building collapse. Larry Silverstein pulled Building 47. By the way, later on, he realized what a disastrous admission this was, and he tried using semantics that pulled didn't mean collapse, but it doesn't matter. He was the owner of Building 7. The building could not have been brought down legally without his permission. But all that's irrelevant. The real question, the beautiful question, because there is no answer. How did Silverstein know his building was rigged with demolition explosives? That takes a building, a 47-story building in New York, 8 months of engineering to get the explosives right and bring it down. It's not an overnight thing. You know what? Even a sloppy demolition of a 47-story building, you can't do in 6 hours. In the midst of utter chaos, it can't be done. But more to the point, it wasn't done that way. How did Larry Silverstein know his building was rigged with explosives? Now, that is such an obvious question, and it reveals so much. Obviously, Silverstein was in on something big. That's how he knew his building was rigged. No fire has ever brought down a skyscraper. You didn't just pull the building. The question is, why would he pull the building down and expose his knowledge that the building was rigged? Well, I've looked at it from every point of view over the years, and I got the right answer from the beginning. The reason why Building 7 had to be brought down was the flight. United Airlines Flight 93 was supposed to have crashed into it. Well, but instead it crashed into Pennsylvania. It was supposed to hit Building 7, and Larry Silverstein was stuck with a building full of high explosives, and the fire marshals were snooping around. If this whole plot wasn't going to be exposed, the next day, literally, the building had to be brought down, plane or no plane. One plane was trying to escape the Northeast. That was Flight 93. All the others left from Newark and Boston and crashed straight into their targets. This plane was heading out. Now, we don't know what went on in the plane. And what a myth has been built around the bravery and heroism of the men inside the plane who all gathered in a circle and picked up their cell phones and talked to their wives, and one wife heard, "Let's get rolling, boys," and all baloney. That was a deliberately made up scenario, I guess, to explain how the plane came down. In fact, I believe there are reasons, good reasons, to believe it was shot down by a military jet, because somehow it broke whatever spell was on the planes to crash into buildings. We don't know the answer to that. We just know that the one plane didn't make it to New York, and a building was left filled with explosives that would have been detonated as soon as the plane hit the building. Now, there's a real problem with 9/11 investigators, and I've met them. In fact, I was invited to New York for the fifth anniversary of 9/11 to give a little speech. There's a good crowd, by the way. I think it was over 500 people. Anyways, I said the same thing. You don't want to make up guesses. With Building 7, there are facts, like there were gold bars in the basement, and the Bureau of Tobacco and Alcohol and Firearms had an office, and they were doing work against this and that. It doesn't matter. None of this is relevant. Building 7 was brought down not because of gold bars or the Department of Firearms and Alcohol and Tobacco. It was brought down because the plane didn't arrive and they had no choice. The whole thing would have been exposed when the police and fire departments found the explosives. They had to bring it down. And Larry Silverstein did bring it down, which means Larry Silverstein knew the building was full of explosives, which means he was in on the plot. As succinctly as I can make the argument.
Okay, I certainly don't see anything there I disagree with.
Well, it goes on, mind you. But no, it's very succinct. I mean, this is, as I said, some of it I uncovered, some of it was public, and some requires stretching a little bit, but not all that much. But who was Larry Silverstein? And here is where we go full flight. Silverstein, after he became very, very rich, the CFR was still in on reorganizing the Middle East their way. They had Ariel Sharon. That was the prime minister who evacuated Gaza, was Ariel Sharon. In New York City, in 04, Sharon needed a ton of money to pull off this evacuation. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis were going to stand up and in front of the bulldozers. It didn't seem possible that this could be done. He needed money and lots of it. The CFR arranged a meeting at the home of CFR member Nina Rosenwald. Now, the police blocked her apartment and all the streets leading to her apartment for over an hour. The police report described as because of top secret reasons. There were only 15 couples permitted to the CFR meeting. Larry Silverstein, and I assume his wife, were amongst the 15. And, as far as I know, was the only one interviewed by anyone on the way out. And here's the quote. A reporter asked Silverstein on his way out if Sharon had thanked him for his donation. And Silverstein replied, no, but it's not necessary. We're here to support the man. Silverstein was so tied up with the gang that were mucking up, not just Israel, they were mucking up America. The only losers in this story have been the people of Israel and America, and I would say equally. But if one leads to another, which leads to the World Trade Center, the financial district, falling down, except for one building, which was brought down by Silverstein, and somebody has got to say to Silverstein, enough, Larry. How did you know your building was filled with explosives? How'd you know? And well, then you could start unraveling 9/11.
And of course, the thing is that 3,000 people died, and it wasn't Osama bin Laden who was behind this, because we've never tried to get Osama bin Laden. That was simply the excuse to go into Afghanistan and then into Iraq. So somebody is still responsible for all those people's death, and there are 1,100 bodies that have never been found. They were simply vaporized in the Twin Towers. How could you vaporize 1,100 bodies if we simply had a pancake-type IO collapse of the Twin Towers? It was done somehow with explosives. But go ahead, Larry.
Well, more to the point, if you're objecting to this mosque at Ground Zero, then you don't know the facts. Now, look, there are plenty of reasons to object to spreading Islam in Manhattan. That's a separate issue. But if you're sticking with the moral issue that Muslims brought down 9/11 so they can't put up a mosque, you don't have, well, you don't have a leg to stand on. The Muslims have the pat hand, and you are in effect in, well, you're doing terrible political work. You're providing aid and succor to the very terrorists who brought down the World Trade Center, which I'm sorry to say all my research says were not Muslims.
I think you're absolutely right. Barry, you present a very good argument, and you're absolutely right. What they're doing is focusing our attention on this mosque to distract our attention from the fact that we were not given the truth about why the Twin Towers and Building 7 came down. Go right ahead.
Well, there is something very, very peculiar happened in Israel last week. I always have this hope, but I'm really... I don't have any hope, but of the truth coming out, that is. But something that is, well, it's changing his writing mind. Let me explain this. This is a tough story. Chaim Perlman was accused of murdering two Arabs. He, again, another one from Tocoa. I'm not even going to tell you what Tocoa is. Too complicated and long a story, but Chaim Perlman was arrested for murdering two Arabs and a series of terror acts against Arabs. Oops, I hear music.
You go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
All right. Well, he taped Shebet Shabak, means the FBI of Israel. He taped his meetings with the Shin Bet, and the Shin Bet encouraged him to murder this Islamic movement head, to carry out a fireworks display in this Arab village. They encouraged him to murder.
And Chris, I'm sure that doesn't go over very well with the Israeli public when they realize that their own intelligence organization, the Secret Services, is encouraging people to kill Arabs. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Barry.
Is this when we have three more minutes?
That's right.
All right. I'm going to summarize the story. It's getting no...
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
We're really dependent upon those people who support us to help us so we can maintain our network of 60 stations. And if you're in a position to help, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And certainly we do hope many of you will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, get the DVDs on the secret mystery of America's beginning, the DVD on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Because, of course, this is a spiritual battle. There truly are demonic forces out there. We've got a great new DVD. It's called Loose Chains, put out by Alex Jones. It's original Loose Chains. This is the final cut. We have Alex Jones' excellent DVD on the Invisible Empire, his DVD on Police State of 4, and then, of course, we have the Catherine Albrecht's excellent DVD on the Surveillance Society. And, ladies and gentlemen, they're watching everything you do. It's not the communists watching you. It is the invisible government watching you in the name of fighting terrorism. They've set up a system to monitor everybody as we move towards a dictatorship in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Certainly, if you do not believe that they're listening to all of your telephone calls by a computer, why go up on the Internet and look up Project Echelon, Echelon. Fortunately, you can check everything I say on the Internet. If you can't verify it, you can always call us. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a conspiracy out there. There are secret societies, and they are modern-day manifestations of the ancient mystery religions. And their goal was to bring about a one-world government and a one-world religion, and in recent years, the last 2,000 years, to destroy Christianity. And, of course, these people worship a different God. And here you understand that this has been the secret message passed down for 5,000 years through the Kabbalah and the Gnostics and the Templars and the Rosicrucians and the Illuminati and the Masons. And that is that there are two gods. There's the real God, who is Lucifer. And then there's the second-hand God, the inferior God, who is the God who created the heaven and the earth. Understand, this is not imaginary. You can go up on the internet and look up the Gnostic religion. Why doesn't anybody talk about it? Because they don't want you to know, and that's why you listen to Radio Liberty to get the information. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, and of course you can go up there and read our newsletters, watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs. It's all free. We want people to get the information. We want to get this information out across America. I can only reach so many people. You've got to reach your friends. And the best thing you can do is get them educated, because we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. And for the people who are not prepared fiscally and financially, but mostly spiritually, why, of course, many people are not going to be able to survive the period of chaos and crisis. Lies ahead. This is not imaginary. This is not scare tactics. This is real. And Sydney, we hope, of course, you've made your preparations, and if not, you need more information, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have an excellent set of DVDs on the final countdown, the prophetic significance of what's going on today. Pastor Billy Crone, we've got a 4-DVD set on the RFID identification, and Pastor Billy Crone does an excellent job on this. You'll see all sorts of video clips that he's gotten from the companies that produce the RFID chips, and they'll tell you exactly what they intend to do and how they are going to monitor each and every person listening to this program tonight. Well, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, because this is a spiritual battle. And if we don't have a revival in America, I see very little chance for survival. But please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 22 July 2010. Thank you so very much for being in your place, ready to go to listen to the Power Hour today. We're going to have a different kind of show that I think you're going to find most interesting. After we do the Riley Report in the first hour, which is sort of the news that CNN seems to lose, then in the second hour, we're going to be talking to an author about the drugs, the SSRI drugs, that people are taking, and it's going to be a little bit different because we're going to talk about the effects of those drugs years later. That's right. It doesn't just stop when you stop taking the drugs. We'll be joining with Robert Whitaker. He wrote a book called Anatomy of an Epidemic, where he talks about the children and the adults, the effects of these drugs, and what you need to know before you take them. Now, this is not just the same program on how they increase violence and suicide. There's a lot more that we can learn from Robert Whitaker, so stay tuned for that. In the third hour, Ron Solly will join us, and he has a surprise for everybody. Ron Sally, who has come up with some of the most unique items over a lifetime. He's been working over a lifetime to bring those to us so that we can feel better, look better, act better, and heal better. That's right. Ron Sally will be joining us in the third hour. Now, here's what is the news today. Here's some of the news CNN seems to lose. Seems there is a competing currency out there. Businesses are now looking at competing currencies. And I love this story because it seems that they'll even take, are you ready for this? Gold and silver. What a concept. And the question is asked, well, can they do that? Well, we'll talk about that because that is a major story for Power Hour listeners because there's many of you in that area. Hopefully, we can even have somebody call in who's been talking with them about this and doing this. Competing currency, it's called. They'll even take, in one state, they'll even take chickens and apple pie. Now, think about what this is going to do to the federal government who wants to track and trace every single thing. How easy is it going to be to track an apple pie? So, competing currency, I'll tell you which state it is, and you go, guys. I think it's going to move ahead. BP is still concerned about a leak in the bedrock. Things are not yet okay in the Gulf. People are still living on the bubble, unfortunately, waiting to see what is going to happen next. We're going to spend some time also on how do pharmaceutical companies do what they do. How do they get a drug out there that is so incredibly bad that it's seen by everyone to cause heart attacks, death, and yet they're able to keep it on the market? How does this system work in such a fashion? Also, on the international front, the U.S. announces new sanctions against North Korea. This goes back to the sinking of the submarine. What happened to that warship? Did it really get hit by North Korea? Well, South Korea and the United States want us to think so. But at this point in time, after the USS Liberty, the Gulf of Tonkin, 9/11, Pearl Harbor, after we've been lied to about all of those things, should we believe North Korea or our own government? Ooh. One country is going to begin using gold-backed currency next month. Thank you, Jim Motika, for this information. If one country begins using gold-backed currency and others follow suit, that could be the explosion of gold and silver prices that has been talked about. We thank you for joining us today. We think this will make your day by learning more than the average person. Yes, you are educated more than the average person. You will be able to respond better than the average person. I thank you very much for joining us today on the Power Hour, and we will be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned. This is Joyce Riley, your host. We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green, go blue, at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website,
yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms,
and not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal